Dagens vinnarprognos från Postkodlotteriet. Postnummer 65209, klart till halvklart och chans till vinst. 41101, avtagande dimma med vinstmöjlighet i sikte. Övriga 10 500 postnummer, soligt och möjlighet att vinna.
Oavsett när sommaren kommer till dig så kan du och dina grannar få dela på 48 miljoner i sommaryran. Ta chansen nu i maj på postkodlotteriet.se.
Åldersgräns 18 år. Kontakta stödlinjen om du eller någon anhörig spelar för mycket.
De kan skriva mina citat innan jag ens säger dem. Så.
Där har vi en dialog. Vi har ambitionen att det ska vara klart ganska snart.
Kommer att se en mycket spännande fortsatt utveckling. Hur vi ska utveckla GIF Sundsvall. Vi har en spännande utvecklingsresa. Mycket spännande utvecklingsresa.
Han var klok nog att välja Sundsvall som nästa utvecklingsmöjlighet.
Det är en spännande lösning. Spännande vård. Väldigt spännande central mittfält.
Du lyssnar
i den 85:e matchminuten, Peter Wilson.
GIF-podden är tillbaka med ett nytt avsnitt, det första efter sommaren. Och dagens gäst till ära som vi startar poddsäsongen med. Head coach, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hejsan, Brian här, head trainer GIF Sundsvall. Thanks for having me in the GIF-podden. Always a pleasure, Lucas, so thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. Do you think that that you can do it in Swedish?
a few more months, you know. Yeah. A few more months, I think that could be a goal. A few more months, we'll do a GIF pod and then I prata svenska. So we see if I come tillbaka.
How is it going? Are you studying Swedish? Anything?
You know, unfortunately, I work so much, you know, and since I've been here that I haven't taken the time to actually study Swedish. Everything that I speak or learn is just kind of on my own. I think that's a goal for me in the future to kind of, I would be able to pick it up quite quick, I believe.
Because I hear you that you put in some Swedish words when you speak. One of the first words must be straff. Straff.
I think it's now just since I've been here for, you know, 6-7 years, now it's quite natural to kind of put the Swenglish in on the training pitch or when I speak.
Shuggy.
I like Shuggy a lot. Shuggy fam, you know.
What is that? I guess it's some kind of rule or
no, it's like mostly like a shugi secunda, like 20 seconds left in the in the bout. But like I said, I think it comes quite natural. I think it's a bit easier for the players as well to hear a little bit of both. You don't want to have too much engelska in the training, so I try to mix it a bit, maybe for my own entertainment as well.
Yeah. And for our.
Yes. No, yeah.
I love it. And I think it's brave. I've tried to learn Spanish while playing for a couple of months in Spain. And it's just to... it's fun. I could... fan säger man? Bjuda på sig själv. I let them enjoy my my speaking. It's just to dare. Now when we meet, it's a couple of days after Degerfors. How are your thoughts going now?
Yeah, you know, obviously this is we're in a tough time in terms of where we are on the table. Two very important games, two very important weeks. And two games without any points, where I think we were worth more than 0 points. It's a bit frustrating, to be honest. It's a bit frustrating because I believe in our players. I believe in what we're trying to do here. I believe that we're playing better football. I believe that we're more in the game than a few weeks ago, and I think that we're making progress, and I think that we are in a position to get points. But nothing is going our way. And sometimes you need to have these margins, or I will say the word luck in football. If we think about last year, Vasiliun game comes into my head, where we have one finish that changes everything. Vesteros, when we're not playing good, and we're getting a good finish to get these points. And those margins right now are not happening for us, unfortunately.
And if you think about it, this can be a philosophy pod for a few minutes. Luck, is that something you can earn?
I think through preparation, right? You can earn your own luck. But I think there is also deciding factors in it. I mean, when I'm talking about luck, I'm talking about our goal counting. You know, that's the luck I'm talking about. I'm talking about maybe against Helsingborg, Joe Corona's shot going in. So those margins, can you earn them through preparation? Of course, because the more you prepare, you get more opportunities for those luck to happen. I believe, you know. So I think through hard work and through preparation, you can create your own luck. Through the chances that we're having right now, we're not getting that type of luck that maybe we talk about that you need to both win series and stay in series. I think when you look at the top and bottom, those teams have the margins with them more often than not.
We see this a lot. It has been through the whole season, these individual mistakes that are crucial in games, like this last game, the 1-1 goal was a header right on the foot perfectly for Diego Campos, and the second goal, the free kick, everybody was just watching it. Do you have a theory about why is this happening?
I think it's a lot of things are mental. A lot of things are we stressed in games. You know, we haven't had points in 7 games, maybe more. You may know that. So that's a bit natural in the back of our players' heads, right? I spoke a bit prior, a fear of failure going into games. And that's kind of been my job these weeks to try to eliminate that. I gave an example before Degafors. I brought up golf as an example. I said, you know, they study, this was the pregame talk, so a little bit of insight.
We love that.
I said they did a study on these golfers that win these major tournaments, whether the Masters or the PGA Tour, and it's not the golfers that make the most mistakes that win these tournaments. It's the golfers that capitalize on their mistakes. So if they shoot below par on hole 7, hole 8, they're hitting for birdie. So that's what I tried to tell to the group. Hey, like, let's not think about the mistakes. If you make mistakes, it's about, okay, how do we capitalize? How is our resilience? How do we come back from that? And if we do that consistently, that builds confidence if you can come back from your mistake. So for me, that's kind of been the message. So I don't want to stress too much on these individual mistakes. I want to capitalize on them. So we have 1-1. We can say individual mistake. We can say great goal by Mr. Campos. But we can also say that, yeah, we responded in a 2-1 that maybe we didn't get credit for. So I think that process for me is super vital with this team being in the position it's in. That for me, it's a psychology now. To build. No fear of failure. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. The squad's going to make mistakes. It's 90 minutes. How do we come back from that? How do we evolve? How do we keep going? And that's the only position we have right now. So that's been my message a little bit.
A lot of your work now is about psychology.
I would say any, you know, in being a manager of a football team, a lot of that is is part of that. How do we manage this group, and especially when you're in, when we need a turnaround in this part of the table, it's a bigger factor in terms of developing higher performance on the field. So I think of it a lot, of how to get the group going in a positive way. But I also, we're also trying to do things from a tactical level, from a psychological level on a tactics side, to keep the football, to believe in yourself, to don't fear this, the ball, to want the ball, or off the ball movement, different types of things. So from a football side, from a tactical side, that's a psychological thing as well. So yeah, maybe the whole thing is psychological, actually.
Yeah, it's a
if that makes sense to you, you know.
Soccer is a movable chess in that way. But do you you have studied, I know that you have studied so much football. Have you also been studying psychology?
No. I haven't. I think it's just something natural that you you know, lots of books, lots of studying different types of top managers around the world, different tricks, different guys that have been in these type of situations. Myself, when I've been in these type of situations with different clubs, what is, you know, reflection back, okay, what could have worked, what did work in previous situations. So thinking of those things.
And now, how do you look at the situation? You're down there on 10 points, 4 points to the nearest team. What's your point of view? How are you looking at it?
Yeah, I look at it like this, okay? I think it's 5 points to the qualifier. We're not talking 15. We're talking 5. And that's why I said to the team exactly this today. I go, it's 5 points. And these things can happen quickly. Now, it's kind of difficult to visualize this if you haven't gotten 1 point in a very long time. So it's about visualizing that, and it's about to keep going and keep believing in what we're doing. I think if you speak to our players, I think they're enjoying their football more. I think certain guys are playing with a lot more confidence than what we saw. I think we're seeing progression from an individual side, from certain players, but also from a collective side in certain ways. Maybe not in the boxes that we hope as supporters of the club. So for me, it's about just keep going. You know, if we keep performing at this type of level, and, you know, Helsingborg, we're probably better statistically than them, from what the reports that I got. Degerfors is about an even game statistically. If we keep performing like this, the margins are going to tip on our side. This is not Malmo at home, our last win, when we're surviving rockets on the goal, where the margins of winning that, let's be honest, are very small. We're in the game now. So that's what gives me hope, that statistically right now we're in these matches in Allsvenska. It's even. Now it's about, okay, these type of decisions, these type of confidence within the boxes.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's why when I wake up, yeah, am I pissed? Believe me, you don't want to be in my house. I don't want to walk down the street. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to walk down the street because I take these things personally. I take them personally. I had to go get yesterday I had to go get boxes. You know, my wife's buying all this stuff from Amazon for the baby, and I said, I'm not going in I go, you get out of the car, because I take it personally. I'm embarrassed. And I hope all of us care that much, honestly. So that's where I'm at.
And then how do you talk about keep going, but you come to work every day and I know you put in a lot of energy. You want a lot of energy, intensity. How do you motivate to keep doing that every day? How are you firing up for every session? Because I see that you're fired up.
For me, the stress is the week leading up to the game. If we do a good job, if I do a good job, like Helsingborg, the match at Helsingborg, I felt we knew the book. The players got the book before. This is exactly where we want to attack. On Kobashi's side, we knew where we wanted to manipulate them. I saw in the first 5 minutes, I was like, this is on. Perfect. You guys have the book. So when I go into match day, I am not stressed. If the week is good, if our preparations are good, I kill myself during the week. I hardly sleep. I get all the video. And it's about balancing that because I can't let the video and that take away from the energy on the pitch because that's the most important. I think you just need to be obsessed and be motivated in that type of way. And that's not everyone. People coach and manage differently. I manage this way. There is some type of obsession where I need to feel that the team knows exactly what they're gonna, when they go into the weekend, they know exactly, we've went through this before. This is how they're gonna attack. This is, we know in the press, okay, if this isn't working, we have plan B. So that's kind of my pride in that. And I can say that I think Helsingborg, I think that match plan was executed to 100%. I knew exactly how they were gonna score. We knew, we knew them inside and out, and I felt good going into that. Degerfors, I felt pretty good as well. It was a little bit different team, maybe not as clear cut of how they play, but still, I think we are prepared to go into these games. I feel it, and we just need to keep going. That's my motivation. You know, I don't take. I won't allow myself to deliver less. I can't do it. Even though I want to sleep an extra hour or I want to get 2 hours of sleep this night, I can't do it. I just can't.
So, now, on Wednesday, you're going to meet Stocksund.
Yes.
Something totally different than Allsvenskan, but how do you look at that coming up? What do you want from it?
Yeah, we want to win. We need a win psychologically. We need a win for next season. It's important for our preparations, but I think I'd look more so near term, right? For the psychology of our group, get the forward scoring some goals. Like let's use this as a confidence booster. Do I think it will be an easy game? No, because all these are World Cup finals for these teams. I've been there before in Division 1 playing Allsvenska teams, playing GIF Sundsvall, so I know what type of environment it is. But obviously, we got to take care and rest certain players that can't recover fast enough, that can't handle due to certain situations 3 games in a week. But the biggest thing for me is to get a result and get a win.
Are you gonna rotate a lot, do you think?
I think it's an opportunity for us to take a look at certain guys. It's an opportunity for us to give some guys some minutes. So in certain positions, yes.
Tell me who you wanna see.
Eric Anderson, for example, right? He's coming off a very long-term injury. And this would be a good game for him to get significant minutes, more than 30 and 30 that he's played these last 2 games. Okay, look, can we stretch him? Can this be a start to get Eric Anderson back? Those are certain ones. Gabriel Castro, let's see where he's at, right? He's coming off the Portuguese calendar, the different FIFA dates. Okay, let's see where he's at. Let's see where his fitness is. This is an opportunity to see those type of things. Marcus Berman, inconsistent with these injuries. Let's get let's get these guys going. So those are some thoughts just off the top of my head.
We'll move on, because as I told, I haven't really spoke to you and took time since I came back from vacation, and on my vacation a lot of things happened. You became the head coach, for example. Can you tell about the first thoughts when you were assigned this mission? What did you want to do?
Yeah, it was quite shocking. I didn't expect it, obviously. For me, I've been this passionate for us this season and since I've been here. So in that sense, nothing too much has changed. What has changed is, okay, how I lead the group, the leadership styles, different thoughts on the field, how to play, and maybe a little bit clearer mind. Being an assistant, you take a step back and you can kind of say, okay, maybe this isn't going well, maybe we need to fix that, and kind of putting that into putting into place. So that was kind of the thought process. It happened quick, with Henrik. Like I said, me and Henrik have a really good relationship. We've been through a lot together. But it was a club's decision. It was Henrik's part in it. And then they said, okay, you're taking over the team. So I strapped right on the boots and got to work right away. Because there was not too much time to think. We had a game in a few days. We had Varberg, I think, in 3 days. So for me, because of the situation we're in, it was like, okay, how quickly can we get points? How quickly can I get this group going, get the confidence, try to keep turning this around? So that was kind of the thought process a bit.
Did you have a clear vision of exactly what you wanted to change?
I think in terms of certain leadership demands and mentality, yes. I think you see that maybe a bit on the pitch during training, the intensity, the demands, the more accountability, I would say. If guys are messing up, they hear about it more. If we don't think the standards are as high as they can be, from the collective team or the individual, they hear about it more. So for me, it was about raising the standards of performance in order to compete in Allsvenska, to stay in Allsvenska. So that was the biggest thing for me. The intensity, the training habits. Can I get 10 to 15% more out of these players that I have? That for me was the biggest thing. How can I stretch the level of performance and get more out of these guys? And it started there.
And how do you get 10 to 15 more percent, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts there in those training habits. And I think we've seen it from certain individuals, giving certain guys confidence, demanding more. Not being satisfied, not just letting them show up to work and be and feel comfortable. Putting them also in positions to succeed. We can talk about that a little bit on how we're set up right now, if you want.
Yeah.
I can elaborate on that a little bit. We look at how we're set up with Saku Illatopa as a withdrawn forward right now, more of a free role. I told him, hey, listen, I'm designing this role a bit for you. You're not on the wing defending in a low 4-4-2 right now. You're in this free 10 role. Find the ball. Do what you do best. But defensively, I expect you to press a certain way if I'm going to do this for you. Pontus Engblom, okay, be a bit higher in a 9. Be in between the two central backs. Get in the box. Do what you do best. So those type of things, that's how you get more out of your players. Showing that, okay, we want the best for you, and we're looking out for you as an individual. Give us more back to the collective. And that's kind of my philosophy. And just those two examples of it.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at players, do you want to mention anyone that you think have raised their level? Anyone certain?
Well, I think we're in a situation where we've had some key guys out, right? Like I mentioned, Erik Andersson.
Mm.
This is a major player for us in Allsvenska. He's an experienced guy. Peter McCrillis, we get him and he breaks his face after 45 minutes. This is an experienced guy that we're hoping to get going. So our midfield has guys have had to step up. Paya Pichka, you know, playing as a single pivot in the six. I think he's playing with confidence. He's playing some of the best football we've seen in Allsvenska, not in Superettan. He's playing his best football in Allsvenska. So I think we see the difference with him. I think Luda Novik, right? We're seeing some glimpses of what he's about. He's playing with confidence. Sure, he's going to make some mistakes. But he's trying things. Saku, super happy with his performance against Degerfors. I think his pressing, the work rate, we haven't seen that with him. So we're seeing certain guys elevate their game rather quickly in this amount of time. When previously they were maybe on the bench and haven't played too many minutes. So those are guys that come to mind. I think we're getting Rasmus to play at a higher level. You know, he's playing some of his best football in the gift shirt right now. So there's certain guys that are from an individual aspect. I think they should be happy with their football a bit.
Three of the guys that you mentioned, Paya, Novik, Saku, as you said, they were on the bench. Were you and Henrik, were you on an even level discussing those three?
I think it's always the head coach's decision on what type of lineup and who he wants to put out there. For me, I was in a situation saying, okay, you know what, we need to look at some different guys here. We need to try to change some things. Let's give some confidence. We have some injuries as well. Let's try to get the best out of these guys. Let's try to have them reach their potential. Is there potential, if they start playing with confidence, can they get us out of this situation that we're in? Now, this is not easy because you're trying to, I'm going to use the word warp speed this process up very quickly, where, you know, I don't know in January if they're playing, what level would they be at? But it's a process, but at the same time, the process has to happen quick. And that's the balancing act right now. That's the balancing act.
When putting them in and relying on them more, as you do now, are you speaking to them more and extra about anything special? Now I will put all eggs in this basket.
I'll answer that question in two parts. The later part is that we are in a performance-based sport. We're in a situation where it should be competition each week. That's, you know, we can't put our eggs. No one's good enough to put their eggs into one person. We don't have that player. If we had that player, we wouldn't be last on the table. That's for sure. Secondly, if you speak to our players, I speak a lot to them on an individual basis. They probably get annoyed with me, maybe too much. But that's a big part of my job now. I spend a lot of time taking both individuals, taking the back line, okay, discussing things, talking, seeing how these guys feel on a personal level, on a sporting level. I spend a lot of time on that.
I see that after every training, I think you sit down with at least a couple of players.
Yeah, I try to grab a few guys here and there. I try to, if it's not, you know, maybe those on the pitch, it's a little bit less formal. How are you doing? What do you think of your performance this weekend? How are you feeling? Open the discussion, talking to these guys, keeping them going. It's a big part of the job.
Mm. Do you speak more to the players on the bench or more to the players in the first 11, do you think?
You should probably speak more to the players on the bench. In terms of hypothetically managing a team, I think right now I've probably been speaking to, I mean, we don't have a huge squad, so everyone is kind of playing in our team. I think it's even. I think it depends on kind of the, on where it goes during the week, if what the priorities are. Do we need to fix something tactically with a...
Vi är specialister på det vi gör, precis som du. Därför försäkrar vi på Svidea bara småföretag, som ditt. För oss är små företag alltid större än stora. Och vår företagsförsäkring anpassar sig helt efter firmans förutsättningar. Gå in på svidea.se/företag och jämför själv. Svidea.
Hej, Synoptik här. Visste du att solens UV-strålar kan vara skadliga och åldra dina ögon i förtid? Kom in till oss så hjälper vi dig att hitta rätt solglasögon som skyddar dina ögon. Välkommen till Synoptik.
Guy that's in, okay, do we need to fix something mentally with a guy that's on the bench? Hey, you're a big part of this. So I think it's a balancing act.
Yeah, and you need to elevate everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Have you been speaking to Henrik after this?
Yeah, I spoke to him probably, you know, he wished right before Helsingborg, he wrote me a nice message wishing me the best and really pulling for us to get those points. So I spoke to him before that game.
What did that mean to you?
I think it just shows the character of him as a person. You know, his heart, he cares about the club and he wants the team to do well. It was really it was a class act, I'd say. It was a really class gesture and it meant a lot. It was really nice.
I have actually asked him to if he wants to do an interview, but he's just saying that he wants to wait with the respect for you and for Benny. He wants you to have he wants to give you the call. So class acting, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, it is.
What's your vision in terms of looking at the play? What's your vision of the identity?
I think it's evolving. I think we saw the second half against Hammarby that I was pretty pleased with. I think we saw Malmo, I thought it was a bit tough of a match. I mean, we were hanging on there. Moment of brilliance from Saku. Now we have these teams that were around us in the table, and I think there's been some positives, right? I think in Helsingborg, I think our build-up was really good. I think our attacking football, especially the first 20-25, was some of the best that I've seen right off from the start of the game in Allsvenska this year from us. I think Degerfors first half, I was pretty pleased with what we were trying to do. But it's little details. I'd like the midfield to be maybe not as high, a little bit deeper to start, to have more shorter passing options, be a little bit quicker, playing out of the back, a little bit more tempo, a little bit more fluid, a little bit more going from a little bit sharper, but this takes a little bit of time. So a little bit of everything better. I'm not super satisfied. I think our pressing is getting better. I think defensively, even though, okay, we're allowing 3 goals a match lately, we're not conceding as many shots. We aren't. So it's harder to break down through us in this system and what we're trying to do. We're more aggressive with our defending. We're spending less time in our own final third, defensive third defending. We're defending higher up the pitch. So these things are all positive things that we're doing at the Allsvenska level, that we're doing in a short amount of time. Now, if we combine that with some points, with some results, that would be perfect.
Then you will get that extra tipping point.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone cares or anyone really gives a shit at this point, you know, about these type of things. It's about points, and that's the thing I said. Again, I'm pretty honest in here. I like to give what I say in this pod to the team. I said to the team, I go, we're doing some good things. We're playing well this morning at training. I said, you know, right now, unfortunately, it doesn't really matter how we play unless we get the results. But I said, I believe in what we're doing. I believe in how we're playing because the margins are more even. So it's the reason why I'm doing this is not because it's this is Brian's vision. No, it's I'm doing this because this is what I think gives us the best chance to win the games. Statistically, it's more even, we're closer, we're more in the game, and it's giving us a better chance to win instead of, okay, maybe dropping into a low block 4-4-2 having 29% possession and 3 shots on net. I hope some people see that there is some differences right now in this, that there is some involvement, that our team can play. That's my vision right now.
I need to ask you about one player not playing that much. Pontus Silver.
Yep.
Why is he on the side?
Pontus Silver, number one, is I'm a big fan of him as not only a player but as a person. I think last year he was vital to our success, and he brings a lot to the table, both emotionally and from a playing perspective. I think it's been we've changed the system a bit. We've gone more into a 3-5-2 with one holder. I've put
and the holder is Paya.
I've put Paya Pichka in there, and then it's kind of been like, okay, what type of balance do we have in midfield? We can't be too defensive because those guys in midfield need to be able to go both ways and be attack minded as well. So it's kind of been a balancing act a bit. Kind of also me trying to, you know, see if we can get anything more out of anyone else a bit as well to change things up a little bit. But Pontus Silver is a good player and he has a role right now and he could start. Next game he could start at any time. When he's been coming off the bench for 30 minutes, that he brings a big level of veteran status and emotional stability to our team. So that's a bit of it. I think he's been pretty good. He's been, you know, no one in our team has been outstanding, and no one you know, everyone's kind of at the same level right now.
If you look at the new players coming in here, how much have you been involved in those recruitments?
I've known Peter McCrillis for a few years when I was watching him at Maria Ham when he was in Finland. To be honest, we had some talks with him in the winter months this year. To see what his availability was. I've always kind of liked him as a player. I think he's a guy that can play in all three positions in midfield and get on and can score some goals as well. Getting him in at a prime age and with Danny Stenson leaving, I think it was vital that we were able to find someone like this, given the economic situation, finding a boss man player that's been in Scandinavia, which is important for me. So I was pretty involved in that, going with the sporting committee within the club, always going through this. And who else do we have? We have Gabriel Castro, more late decision. going with Nicholas Dahlstrom to Jönköping Södra. Same type of thing, okay? Is this is a guy that we've kind of had an eye on, Bossman. What are our options in the back if we were to add on the squad? What is financially feasible to do if we were to get a player in the back line? This worked out. So I think both have I've had some influence. There are guys that I've known from previously a bit.
If you look at the club and their spoken identity, they want to be local. Do you know what I mean with they want to be local. They said that they want to be local, but it's not going in that direction. How were you weighing in that while looking at players this winter and this summer?
I'm super sensitive to that because I believe in that type of identity. I do. I want players from, you know, if it were ideal for me, I would get guys from Sweden. You know, they know the league. It's a easier transition period. We know the player a bit more because he's within the country. And it's just an easier transition. And you can, from a coach's perspective, you can get to work quicker and get better. I think being local in a way is good. And as a club, yeah, we should try to get the best players in Norrland, in the North region. How many players are available, both financially and talent-wise, for Allsvenska in Norrland? That's something that we need to look at. I don't know the answer to that. Now, right now, with this window, like I said, with Macrillis, it was important that, okay, here's a guy who's played in Finland, he's played in Denmark, he's been in Scandinavia. That was a major factor, some type of being familiar to the style in some ways, not just grabbing guys from all over the place and throwing them in here. But I think for the club financially, you know, it is very difficult to when we're in certain windows and we need to, that, and the club from a business side needs to sell certain players, Daniel Svensson, Anton Eriksson, and then okay, can we need to bring some players in. We're not that deep of a squad. We can't afford to use all that money to just buy a player. So what are the options here? So it's about kind of balancing that. So from the identity side, is it always going to be perfect? No. Can you get back to that identity in the future? Yes, if that's going to be the priority, whether it's going to be Norrland, whether it's going to be Sverige, whether it's going to be Scandinavia. I think those are things, depending on the series that you're in, you need to evaluate. And ultimately, you need to look at, okay, what's going to bring success, whether long-term success or short-term. Hypothetically, we'd like both of those to be the same. That, okay, this identity is going to help us bring short-term success and for the future withstand it. So I think, to answer your question, that's a conversation for the long term that's above my pay grade. Right now.
Yeah.
I see. You know, I tried to give some thoughts on it. I know I went in a few different directions, but I wanted to give some of my thoughts on it.
Who is taking the decisions? Many of the players look like your players, like these two guys and Marcus Burman, Forrest Lasso, Ronaldo. It looks like it is from your contact list.
I think as a club and how we work, we all try to come together to get the best possible players that we think we can get and afford in our club. You know, I don't look at, okay, this guy is my player. These are our contacts. I mean, you know, whether it's our sporting committee, whether Benny finds a guy, whether Urban, you know, he's the sporting director. He's got lists who he's talking to. Is this guy available? Is he not? Okay, if he's not available, okay, do we have someone? Hey, we have this budget. Can we find someone? So we kind of all work together to bring success to our team. And we sit and we discuss and we put a guys on a depth chart. Okay, for next season, this guy looks interesting. We put them on a depth chart, and then we kind of keep tabs on them. So, answer your question. I mean, like I said, like I try. If there's something interesting that can help us bring success, I will bring it to the table. Mm. Now, whether that player comes or not, that's not up to me.
How much are you thinking about making a transfer value in the squad? Like, for example, playing Ludvig Nobby because he's 18 years old, he's promising. Play Ronaldo Damus, so he's young and sellable for the future.
Mm. I mean, to be honest, in this position where we're in now, I shouldn't be thinking at all on that. I should be thinking about just trying to get points.
But has Urban ever put pressure on you in this question?
I mean, no. I think it's always a... I think there's always, you know, a question about, okay, a talent like Ludinovic, right? Like, okay, this we believe in this player. He needs to play for us to get the most out of him, not only just to help the team now, but for maybe future financial situations. And some of these young guys need confidence to play. For me, I don't look at that too much because we're not in a position to do that, Lucas. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're in a position that we need to survive, and unless one of our players is bringing us $25 million, that which is the cost to stay in the league, then we can talk about it.
Mm.
You know, if I put in a guy, okay, he's going to give me $35-40 million. Okay, maybe, but I don't think we're there.
Mm.
So, for me right now, it's we put in guys who are informed that can help us win. That's the number one. And if it, and Novik and Damus, they're young guys that are interested to other clubs, they're performing, the better for us, both from a sporting side and from a business side.
How are you sharing the workload with Benny?
Yeah, I think every time you start a new chapter and a new relationship working together, it takes a bit of time. So our first few weeks, we got thrown into a bit of a tough situation, prepare for Varberg, and then we get to learn a lot about each other. Okay, what are his strengths? What are my strengths? What are some of our weaknesses? Can we sort that out? We're both working extremely hard. Benny's working super hard these weeks. He's I call him a grinder, a guy that works and works. And I think we bond well over how much work and how much passion we have for GIF Sundsvall and for the football. Benny's been working a bit more on the defensive shape with our team, with the back line specifically, and looking at how the opposition sets up their strengths and weaknesses. So that's kind of how we've deciphered our roles so far. And as we keep working together, we keep evolving and even get stronger and stronger. So it's been a pleasure so far, to be honest.
But if he has more defensive responsibility and your opponents, what is more of your responsibility?
I think you know, when you step up as a head coach or head trainer, you got to have more of a overall picture of everything. I have been because of the system change and different ideas of how we want to play. I want to have more of the ball, be more competitive in the game, be more dominant. That I've been looking on how we attack a bit, our build up, still continuing with our pressing a bit, but more focused on how we're attacking. I put more emphasis on that in the last few weeks, for sure.
How do you like working with him?
Yeah, like I said, it's been a pleasure because, you know, he's got a big heart for the club. He's been involved with the club as a player and a coach for a long time. And it's like I said, we bond through, we both have very high work rates. And I think that kind of bonds us together. We don't leave. We're willing to make our families not too happy at times. So it's good to see someone else, not just me, do that. You know. So I think we bond over that. But it's been a good experience so far, and we just need to get points, and it will be even better.
He has been praised for his work with the academy.
Mm.
Can you see his greatness and what it consists of?
I think he's really good at development of young players, right? He makes the principles known of what he wants. So I think I think he can see why these players have elite football careers. That's a specialty kind of player development with these young players. And you can see you know, our younger guys, Larsson, Novik, you know, they have a more sense of comfort when he's around. I think they play with more confidence as well. And me as well. I'm trying to give these guys confidence, not just these guys, but them all. But yeah, you can see that he has principles that are established for player development that has been proven to work. So yeah, we see that.
Hmm? Are you still using Dick Svedin as a video analyst?
I haven't
seen him in,
yeah,
in
Dick, a while. Dick's been away with the national team. Yeah. Okay. So he's been gone these weeks. I haven't seen him in a bit. I think he's been in Wales with the national team. But when Dick's available, we use him. Mm. But he's been occupied lately.
Yeah. Has your workload changed since you...
It's increased. I'm not going to lie. Mm. There's more on the table, more responsibility. Got to cover a little bit more demands on myself. So, yeah, the workload's increased.
how are you? And you're also a dad. How are you managing your two big tasks?
The two.
And a husband. At least.
Yeah, something like that. I'm very fortunate. I have a really good fiance that she understands the business that I'm in. That's very supportive of me. That's willing to do the diaper duty at 3 a.m. because she knows I'm going to be up at 6 a.m. doing some video before work. So I'm fortunate. I have a really good family. The baby's been good. My fiance's been good. That stuff's been good. Now I just need some points. Yeah. Now I just need some points. Yeah. I'm telling you, if we just had some points, then my life I'd be very satisfied.
Yeah. Do you think you would be a better dad as well if you get some points?
I mean, I try to not let that influence those things. When I wake up yesterday, yeah, I'm pissed off at home, but then I try to use those hours with the family, the short time I have with my family, to enjoy it.
Your contract is ending this winter.
Yes.
What's going to happen?
We'll see. Mm. We'll see here. I mean, I don't know what the club's thoughts are. You know, obviously, I need to get some points here. Mm. Obviously, they had some confidence in me to try to turn this around in Allsvenska, to try to keep this team around in Allsvenska. But I guess that's an ongoing discussion with myself and the club, and to see what the thought process is. Mm. For me personally, I see something long term I would like to do. I think there needs to be some type of vision long term, where it's stable, where the style of play is stable, where what we're doing in terms of recruitment is stable, in terms of how we play is stable, so you're not a up and down type team. So you either stay in Allsvenska consistently, or you go down the Superettan and you build that. So when you go into Allsvenska, you're firing on all cylinders, and you can maintain that. So that for me,
you don't want to rescue the day every day.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to do that. You want to be more of a stable organization in terms of your play, in terms of what you're doing. And I think that's something that can happen in the future. But to answer your question, yeah, these are conversations that I've not had yet. I've been trying to get points, to be honest with you.
After this start with no points on seven games, how was your self-belief, your confidence?
I look at it like this, right? We got Varberg, my first game. We let in a goal in the first minute, and then we have some mistakes. Then after that, I think we play good football, probably really good stuff that we haven't seen in a long, long time. People don't forget. Now, we were down 3-0, but I looked at it, okay, let me use this as a positive for the next one. Then I have two very, very difficult games. Hammarby away, allow a goal in the first 45 seconds. Stay 1-0. Go in the second half, concede two. And then going to Malmo. That is what it is. Then these two games. I look, like I told you, I look at our evolvement of how we are competing. People forget. I mean, we were conceding five goals at home against Hammarby's, against Häcken, you know? And we were having 30% of possession. We're having two shots on net. So I'm looking at this now and looking at the evolvement. Okay, we have more chance to win these games. I'm playing, you know, this last game against Degerfors, six guys in the starting 11 from Sundsvall and Allsvenskan. So that's positive for me. You know, playing with guys that have maybe been on the bench, getting them to perform at a good level, and them taking that and playing well. Guys playing with more confidence, I think. So that for me is positive. So I take a lot of these positives and just keep going. My confidence, I believe in what I'm doing with how the football looks. Now it's just about getting the scoreline to look good.
Yeah.
The most important one. But I'm sure people aren't happy, you know. Normally when you make a coaching change, you want some type of effect. And we haven't gotten that. We have not gotten that. So I'm sure people aren't all, you know, wait, what's going on here? But you know, we also got to look at where we are. And what we have available and what is going on with just not the scoreline.
In a personal level, I can feel that you I hope you to earn some luck if we're coming back to that term.
We need a little bit. We need the football gods to throw us something. We need the margins to go our way. We need the shots on the post to go in. We need the linesman to signal that it's a goal, right? Yeah. You know, if we think of these things, maybe you know, these type of small things, it changes psychology of the fans, it changes our players, these certain decisions. So like I said, if we can fix these things, if we're close right now. That's what I say to the guys. Hey, we're close. These are small margins. Just keep going.
We're supposed to round off, but I have one more question.
Yeah, no problem.
That I forgot. I have seen you eating many lunches with Tommy Naurin.
I had one lunch with Tommy Norin.
No, it must be more. I see him every week.
Me having lunch with Tommy Norin?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I've had one lunch. I had one lunch with Tommy Norin.
Is he returning?
Not that I know of. I had lunch with Tommy Norin above the stadium. I think before Helsingborg, and we spoke about how things are going with the squad, and you know, it was a big game with Helsingborg, but I haven't heard anything about him returning. I think he, you know, Tommy Norin is a legend to me. I call him the mayor of Sundsvall. He knows everyone. He's always around, and he's a big part of the club, and he's a legend. So we'll see.
Thanks a lot, Brian. I think it has been a very nice hour together with you, and you
you can speak about both. You can both explain and speak about the tough things going on.
Yep. No, we. I appreciate it, Lucas. I wanted to come on a bit earlier, but now was the right time, and hopefully, you know, I'm as honest as possible. I will go to hell and back with the squad.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I will go to hell and back. I will fight for this club, fight for the city. We need to all get behind it. It's not an easy situation. Being an Allsvenska is not an easy situation. It's tough. It's tough. But we need to try to stay in it from a financial standpoint, and we need to evolve moving forward. So I appreciate the time, and I hope it's a good podcast for everyone.
Yeah, I think so. I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The summer.
Upptäck hyllade Xpeng G9 och P7 hos Bilia. Våra produktspecialister hjälper dig att hitta rätt modell för just dig. Boka din provkörning på bilia.se/xpeng redan idag. Välkommen till Bilia, din specialist på Xpeng.
Ah, dåliga vibrationer är att skära av sig tummen i köket.
Ja!
Bra vibrationer är att du har en tumme till och kan scrolla vidare. Alla abonnemang för 20 kronor i månaden i 4 månader. Vimla, mobiloperatören med bra vibrationer.